Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
All right, so starting with last night's matchup, there may have been a time when Bengals, Steelers on a Monday night would have been must-see TV. There may have been a time. Last night was not that time. Like, I had a bad feeling going into that game, of course. A couple of 0-3 teams going nowhere in prime time. On paper, that is one of the worst-looking Monday night matchups ever. On the field, it was so much worse than I could have imagined. You stick a couple of crappy, winless teams together, ask the entire world to watch, and that's exactly what you're going to get. One TD in the first half and some really bad football. The best moment of the night, far and away, was at halftime when Coach Bill Cowher and Hines Ward went into the Steelers Hall of Honor. Great moment, extremely well-deserved. No wonder the Steelers came out with a lot more juice after halftime. They then turned a 10-3 snooze fest into a 27-3 snooze fest. A Thursday night game on a Monday night. And I know some of you people were suggesting that this is the kind of game that, man, it might not be all that, but I would give anything to have that in April when there is no football. I saw that. Well, that happens to be the wrong answer. Incorrect response. Nobody will be wishing that they could watch that game or any game like that ever again. I mean, like, far be it for me to be as presumptuous as to speak for the entire planet, but nobody anywhere thought or saw that game and thought, man, you know, I'd like to see that game again. I hope they run that back in April when there is no football. Now, I would not subject that game even on my worst enemy. And even worse than bad football is boring football. And Steeler fan, I'm sure you'll tell me, hey, we don't care how it looks. Well, know this, the rest of us do. That was boring, unwatchable football. Yes, you got to win. Even if it came against the Bengals, who are now in the shallow end with the likes of the Dolphins and the Redskins. Yes, the Steelers seem like they got into a bit of rhythm on offense. Yes, they seem to get James Conner going. They seem to find something working with Jalen Samuels, who became the first Steeler with a completion and a reception and a rushing attempt since Mwelde Moore. Shout out to M. Moore. And yes, they beat the living hell out of Andy Dalton. 8 sacks on a truly painful night. It seemed like a masterful performance by the Steelers defense. You notice I keep using the word seemed. It seemed like. Because I'm not sure how much of this really counts when you do it against the Bengals. Like, I don't know that you can say the Steelers offense got into a rhythm because they did it against the Bengals. I don't know how fired up you can be about 8 sacks in an NFL game when you do it against the Bengals. Because the Bengals aren't good. Cincinnati has turned into the Washington of the AFC. They're not quite as bad a version of Washington, but they're pretty damn close. They're 0-4. And my biggest concern with the Bengals is I'm not even sure if they're tanking or they're trying to win or what they're doing. Because if they're tanking, they're not doing a good job. If they're trying to win, they're doing an even worse job. But they are embarrassing. They are embarrassing. Not my word, but the word used by receiver Tyler Boyd.
We got embarrassed straight like that, and it sucks.
Quote, we got embarrassed straight like that, and it sucks.
We got embarrassed straight like that, and it sucks.
Truth. My man, I got embarrassed also. Straight like that. I was embarrassed to be watching. In fact, watching that made me embarrassed to be alive. Straight like that. It sucks.
We're living in a world of suck.
How much does it suck? Well, let me ask you this. When was the last time you thought about the Cincinnati Bengals? If I asked you to rattle off the names of every team in the NFL, how long would it take you to get to the Bengals? How many Bengals can you even name? When was the last time you thought about Andy Dalton? Seriously, if you had to name the starting quarterbacks in the NFL, how long would it take you to get to Andy Dalton? Right. These dudes, that team, are extremely forgettable. You know, I'm not here to bash them. I'm not here to bash him. I'm just stating a fact, right? I mean, you can even name a bunch of the Steelers, but how many Bengals can you name? Boomer Esiason, Chris Collinsworth, and Icky Woods ain't walking through that door. Neither is AJ Green, for that matter. You need more. Their leading rusher has 149 yards in four games. All right, so maybe they're not built around the run. Probably a pass-first offense, right? I mean, you got to open it up in this era that favors passing. Yeah, well, Andy Dalton has less than 1,200 passing yards on the year. All right, fair enough. So they're not built to run. They're not built to pass. Maybe they're not built around their offense. Let's check the defense. They've got to get after the passer, right? Their leader has two sacks. Their leader in sacks has two. So again, the question, what are these guys doing? What are they doing? They got some pretty good pieces in spots, but that is a boring team playing bad football. Just a bunch of anonymous players in black and white uniforms playing anonymous football. Again, what are we watching here? Are they competing? Are they tanking? Are they rebuilding? What's happening? I've got no idea. And even worse, I don't think their own guys have any idea. Dre Kirkpatrick said it for me.
I know what we got to do. You know, we got to just figure this out. We got to get wins. They don't pay me to lose. You know what I'm saying? And that is unacceptable to me. I don't know how everybody else feels about it, but you got to feel a certain type of way.
You do have to feel a certain type of way. You're right, man. You got to feel a certain type of way. And the way I feel is bored. Bored as hell. I know everybody thinks that playing in the NFL is the dream, the life, we all want it. But how are you feeling right now if you're the 0-4 Bengals? You're not going to make the playoffs. You are eliminated from contention on the last night of September. And you still have October, November, and December to go. You still have 12 more games to get the crap beaten out of you, physically and emotionally, with very little chance of winning or of mattering, with a high chance of embarrassment and severe injury. I don't know what else we can say about the Steelers last night other than it's a good thing they didn't lose to Cincinnati. The best thing I can say about the Bengals, well, there is nothing good to say about the Bengals other than thankfully it's over, because that was ugly and awful and boring, and I never want to see anything like that ever again, and I never want to talk about anything like that ever again.
Dalton back to throw, and he is hit and sacked, and that is appropriate. Alu sacking Andy Dalton on the Bengals' last offensive play of the game. The Bengals simply could not protect him tonight.
Bengals radio, and as I tweeted last night, they were all kinds of horrible. A member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and he appears today, courtesy of Rice and Pastoroni. Jerry Rice is my guest. Jerry, it's great to have you back. How are you?
Jim, how you doing?
Good, Jerry. How are you?
Man, I'm great, man. I'm living life, having a good time.
Always, always. In fact, let me ask you about that. I want to start right there. I want to talk football with you, but Jerry, when I sat down with you at Super Bowl, I was once again struck by the fact that you were still grinding as hard as you ever have. A lot of guys might take the attitude that when they retire from pro sports, they're going to relax, they're going to let themselves go. You have not done that. How come?
I think it's just my work ethic. And, you know, I take pride in what I do. My brand is very important, and that's why I have hooked up with Rice-A-Roni.
You know I'm going to get to that in a minute. But in terms of the work you're doing right now, Jerry, you're traveling quite a bit. Everybody knows how tough it is to stay on the grind and to stay true to yourself from a health standpoint when you're traveling. As an example, when I traveled to New York on the weekends, man, I can't believe the damage I can do in just 2 days. How do you stay on point and with the routine when you're traveling?
You know what, Jim? I think the thing is I have always watched what I put in my body. So just being able to, pick and choose what I want to eat, always try to get a workout in. And if I don't have a gym or something like that, you can do like maybe three sets of burpees, 21s or something like that. Do some CrossFit in your room. So it's all about pretty much just keeping myself healthy, energized, and I just continue to work hard.
Hey, listen up. One out of four batteries are going to fail this winter, so you want to get yours tested for free during Superstar Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it does need to be replaced, O'Reilly has the Superstar Battery for you. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Jerry Rice is joining us. He's appearing courtesy of Rice and Pastoroni. Jerry, the other day you posted an Instagram message about Larry Fitzgerald, and you were there when he moved into second place on the all-time reception list. As one receiver watching another, what are the things about Fitzgerald that make him so special?
I just love the way Larry plays the game. His smartness on the football field, the way he passed on the knowledge to the other players, the way he set the standard for what, you know, how you should approach the game. So he's a workaholic, and I have gone back and forth with him so many times to work out. When he would bring me into Minnesota, and he wanted to pick my brain about, you know, longevity and how I was so successful so many years.
All right, so now you're not looking to beat your own chest, but let me ask you this. As amazing as Fitz's numbers are, he's still more than 6,000 yards behind you on the all-time list. So to make that clear, the guy who's in second in yards and receptions is still more than 6,000 yards behind you. How much pride is there for you in the fact that some of your records are pretty much impossible to break?
You know, I think I give all the credit to my teammates, and, you know, it's a team game. It was incredible, you know, the run that we had. And I never thought about the records. You know, I wanted to just win Super Bowls for San Francisco and, you know, for my teammates. And I never wanted to let my family back home down. So I just kept pushing myself. So I never got complacent or anything like that. It means a lot to, you know, to accomplish so much, but still, you know, I just love the game of football.
Jerry Rice is joining us. So, Jerry, aside from Fitzgerald, who are some of the other receivers playing today that you like to watch and that you respect?
Odell Beckham, Julio Jones, Hopkins, but God, the list just goes on and on. You know, there's a lot of great receivers out there. Larry Fitzgerald would probably be number one. So, you know, I like watching those guys, and I still support the game. And like I said, I had a chance to watch one of the GOATs this weekend with Larry Fitzgerald breaking Tony Gonzalez's record.
We're talking to Jerry Rice. Jerry, what about the Niners? They're 3-0 to start the year. Now, that last win might not have been so pretty, but they did find a way to get it done. What do you make of what you've seen from the team so far this year?
Well, the team's just got to keep working. It's game by game. It's still early. So, you know, they can't smell the Kool-Aid right now. So, you know, just like what Richard Sherman said, you know, they can get better defensive-wise and also offensive-wise. And I think the most important thing is that you got to keep Jimmy G healthy, keep running the football. Then the receivers got to keep making plays downfield where, you know, Jimmy G doesn't feel like he has all the weight on his shoulders to win the football game.
Hall of Famer Jerry Rice is my guest. Jerry, what about Jimmy G? How does he look to you so far as he returns from that knee injury?
Well, he's coming along pretty well. I think he's improving every game. You know, he's gaining confidence and also momentum. And, you know, I think he's only going to get better.
Now, back in the spring, Jerry, you spent some time with A.J. Brown from Mississippi, who was drafted by the Titans. What do you make of his game?
A.J. Brown, I had a chance to take him to the infamous hill. We ran up the hill. We talked. We had a good time. He's a big physical receiver, and, you know, he can get separation, and he got good hands.
Glad you brought up the hill, the infamous hill. He ran the hill with you. It is a legendary workout. What was it like to run the hill with him?
You know, I think it was great because I got the opportunity to get inside his head and pass on some knowledge to him. And, you know, his father was there, and he's really just all about just loving the game of football, and he's looking forward to his opportunity. So we just talked in general, and we had a good time.
Hey, Jerry, what is it about that hill? What do you get out of running the hill? Is it about the physical challenge, or is it about the mental toughness that results?
I think it's both. You know, if you're able to make it to the top of the hill, because the last 800 meters are like straight uphill, and it's going to challenge you, and you're going to feel like your chest is just going to just pop wide open. So, you know, that was the endurance that I needed during the fourth quarter, because I always wanted to be at my best. And I think the opposing team, they thought I was crazy because during the fourth quarter is when you're tired. But, you know, I was one of those guys that was jumping around and just raring to go.
Jerry, was there a guy or two who back in the day could hang with you, maybe even surpass you in workouts on that hill?
I would say Roger Craig. Roger Craig really turned me on to the hill. I was a rookie when I first came out, and I ran the hill with Roger Craig and a couple more guys, and it was so difficult. I like stepped away for a second, but I had to go back and conquer that hill, and I was able to do that. Then after Roger moved on, and I decided to take on that regiment of working guys out. I remember Terrell Owens came, Barry Sanders, and so many of the other guys came to try to run the hill.
Barry, I mean, Barry was just such a different dude and such a unique athlete. What was he like to work out with?
Oh, my God. You know, Barry Sanders, I'm going to tell you, this guy, what he brought to the game, and I know he stepped away from the game early, but, man, the way he ran the football, the vision on the field, and his legs, you know, they never stopped moving. And he sent so many defensive backs and guys to the hospital.
Jerry, every guy's different, right? Could you, and you got absolutely everything you possibly could out of what you had. Is there any part of you that kind of understood why he left when he left, or is that something you can never really relate to?
I think it was very similar to Jim Brown. He just felt like he had nothing else to prove, and he decided to walk away. I was one of those guys that, you know, I just loved it so much that I was able to play for about 20 years. And I would have played longer than that if I could have.
Jerry, you posted a picture of you and Eddie DeBartolo Jr. at an event recently. What was it like to work with him? What kind of memories did you have of him, or do you have of him?
I think Eddie DeBartolo, the greatest owner ever, and all he wanted from you, he just wanted you to win. I mean, the way we traveled, the hotels that we stayed at, they were like first class. But in return, you had to win football games and you had to win championships. And he was like that 12th man on the football field. And you knew that this guy, he was going to, you know, he was pulling for you. And if you didn't play well, he was going to be the first one in the locker room throwing stuff around and just really, you know, he was a real fiery owner.
And Jerry, you started the interview by saying you've always been really cognizant about what you put into your body. You've partnered with Rice-A-Roni and Pasta-Roni, which makes sense because it is the San Francisco treat now.
Right.
Break it down for me. What are you up to with them? How can the fans get involved?
Well, I have partnered with Rice-A-Roni, and I thought about changing my name to Jerry Rice Pasta-Roni. And also, here's the thing, too. It's all about tailgating right now. You know, football season is in full force. And I found it a little bit easier to catch a pass or something like that or run that perfect route or score a touchdown. And what I like about Rice-A-Roni is there are so many varieties and, you know, to choose from. You got chicken, you got rice, beans and rice, all of that. You have angel hair pasta with herbs, you know, so many selections. And my favorite is jalapeno cheddar. And because I felt like I was a little spicy on the football field when I played. So that's my go-to. You can go teamrice.com for more information.
This whole thing is spicy to me. Jerry, would you really consider changing your name to Jerry Pasta-Roni?
Hey, you got, hey, that's real smooth, ain't it?
Dude, that is really smooth. It'd be even more smooth if you did it. My man, I'd go right to the courthouse and get that thing done.
You think I could have put that on my jersey back in the day?
For sure. For sure. Yeah. In fact, you could probably play right now. You could probably still do it. That'd be the spiciest thing ever, man. Drop out in the back of your gear. Do it, Jerry.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, dude. Great talking to you, Jerry. Thank you very much. Appreciate you always. I think we all know hiring can be a slow, torturous process. Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan Miskowitz, needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but was having trouble finding qualified applicants. So he switched over to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter does not depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and then invites them to apply to your job so you get qualified candidates fast. Like Dylan. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said that he was impressed by how quickly he had awesome candidates apply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in only a few days. With results like that, it is no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our special web address, ZipRecruiter.com/clones. 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 ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Brother, what's going on, Jeff?
Jim, thanks for the vine, and thanks for the time. And Jim, you can't see me, Jim, but I'm standing, Jim, in a Megan Rapinoe-esque goal celebration pose, Jim. My arms are spread wide. My palms are facing up towards the sky. My head is tilted slightly to the right, Jim, and my eyes, Jim, are gazing up towards the heavens. And I've got a huge smile on my pie hole, Jim, because that's the celebratory spirit I feel. That's the level of elation and enthusiasm I feel, Jim, when I get to connect, Jim, with a National Radio Hall of Famer, Mr. Jim Rome. Congratulations, Jim. You did it the old-fashioned way, my man. You earned it. Jim, if you'll indulge me for a brief moment, I want to give a shout-out, Jim, to all the SoCal and NoCal Insta-skanks that are desperately trying to build their quote-unquote brands on social media. Hey, skanks, do us all a favor. Stop digitally altering and enhancing your images on social media. Stop injecting massive amounts of collagen and Botox into your grills and your pie holes. Stop pounding out your beaks multiple times. Stop augmenting your racks 3 and 4 times to achieve, quote, perfect symmetry. And most importantly, skank, stop laying down with every dude you meet just because he drives a slick sled and has a big roll of cake in his pocket. Jim, the bottom line is this. Give me the grace and the dignity of the women from the South 6 days a week and twice on Sunday. And by the way, Jim, you're probably not aware of this. If you take a SoCal skank that's an 8 in the great state of California and you drop her into the Commonwealth of Virginia, Jim, the 804, she immediately becomes a 3. Keep that in mind. Finally, Jim, very quickly, I want to say how much I've enjoyed HBO's Hard Knocks featuring my silver and black Raiders. And to all you long-suffering Raider fans, I say this, Jim. I believe Coach John Gruden can bring this organization back to greatness. Jim, knock on wood if you're with me. In closing, Jim, I say this. The autumn wind is a pirate blustling in from sea with a rollicking song, Jim. He sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. The autumn wind, Jim, is a raider pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you around and upside down and laugh, Jim, when he's conquered and won. Raider Nation, who wants to walk with Jeff from Richmond? Jim, thank you for your time. Aloha means goodbye. War number 45, Donald from Manhattan, continuing to make America great again. War Rome, continuing to be served a pina colada from Marty every time he goes to Javier's for dinner. War Logan Rome, earning full use and access to his PS4 and his iPhone 8 because he's not getting distracted by the ninth grade SoCal hotties. War Josh from Detroit continuing to polish his game until he earns the gloss, America's caller. War Mr. Automatic J. Stu, without the nicks and cuts of a blade. And until next time, Jim.
Good night now! Jeff in Richmond. Terry in Detroit. Hey, Terry, how are you?
Hey, Jim, I'm good. What's up, man?
What's
up, man? I've been listening to your show since, like, 93, maybe 94. And I remember when Jeff first broke into the jungle. To me, he sounded like a mix of a Baptist preacher and Jimmy Hart from the WWF bragging about his 60-acre ranch, his luxury sled, and his, what is, I thought it was 24-inch pipes, but he said 18-and-a-half-inch pipes. Whatever. That guy is hilarious. I'm glad he's back in the jungle. But what a fabricator. My man from Richmond. Peace, Jim.
Peace, Terry. Great having you. Hey, there's some nostalgia there. There's a guy saying, man, I've been listening a long, long time, Rome. I remember when that guy first started calling. I remember what I thought 17 years later. Like, what if you're new to the program? What if you've heard the show for a year, 2 years, maybe 3 years, and you've never heard that guy before? Matt in L.A. Hey, Matt, what's up?
Snag Leo Ordonez. Hey, thanks for the vine. As a proud member of Raider Nation, I'm worried about that mountain of gelatinous slop we know as Jeff in Richmond. I mean, it's evidenced by his morbidly obese paw, Chewbacca claws, grasping the wheel of his luxury tractor trailer. His struggling larynx is battling his pulled pork intake, I should say, and rip John Facenda's iconic Raiders speech. You know, before he was crippled by cholesterol, dude would have came back. I mean, I've been taking runs at Jeff on the regular. Jeff Rowe, push away from the table and get to an ER or urgent care, because you're one chicken fried steak meal appetizer from losing your battle with gout and high cholesterol, you puke. For goodness sake, you fat slug. Step away from the table. Wendy's, you're not helping them, you're hurting them. And you shouldn't be serving them fast food, man. Aloha means Ayola. Where it's Rick Eisenhower eliminating citrus from his diet because of Agent Orange. Outro.
I think that was Matt in L.A. calling up to call Jeff in Richmond really fat. I think that was the purpose of the call, but I'm not exactly sure. We are joined by Rayshon Jenkins. Rayshon, good to have you on. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing, Jim?
Good, dude. Good. Really good to have you on the show. Let me start here. Every game in the NFL is huge, but how much bigger does it feel when you went to high school in St. Petersburg, you went to college at the U, and then you're back playing against the Dolphins? What kind of emotions did you have before that game?
Man, it was just a surreal moment, man, just knowing that I would, you know, kind of get an opportunity to go back to the same stadium that I was able to play my 5 years in college at, man. That was just cool, man. And just having my, you know, former teammates and all my family in the stands and just coming back to that South Florida welcome.
All right, so when you get to go back home and you're in front of friends and family, you're coming off a couple of tough one-score losses. What was the mood among your team in the week leading up to the Miami game, and how good did it feel to get that W?
Man, we were just saying get back to our fundamentals, man. Just don't try to, you know, overdo your job. Just get back to your fundamentals, man. We're doing nothing wrong. We're actually beating ourselves. So we knew if we could just do that, you know, and just focus in for this week, we knew we would like our result coming off of Sunday.
Rayshon Jenkins, my guest. Let me ask you about one play from the game. Miami had the ball in the red zone, about 12 minutes left in the second quarter. They hand the ball off to Jakeem Grant, who's in motion, and you come flying out of the secondary. You wrap him up for a two-yard loss. Can you take me through the play? What did you see, and how good did it feel to make that tackle?
Man, so I saw Grant on the left side. I saw QB on the center. And I know that's kind of their gadget guy. He's the fastest guy. Him or Michael Davis is probably the fastest guy on the field. So I know that I got to be aware of him, you know, especially in that red zone situation. And once I saw him go in motion, that was just a jet sweep trigger to me. So once I saw that, you know, I was able to read it. I was able to track his inside hip and tackle him for a loss.
Rayshon Jenkins, my guest. You know, I jumped in there. Sorry to interrupt. You mentioned Michael Davis. At one point during the game, you told Michael Davis that he was going to get an INT, and sure enough, he did. What did you see that made you feel like he was going to get one, and then how happy were you for him to make that play?
Man, I was happy for him, man. That was his first career INT, so I'm really happy for him. You know, that's one of my good friends. And, you know, he was just around the ball all day. The ball had hit him twice in the hands previously, so, you know, I like to speak things into existence. So, you know, I put it in the air, and, you know, it's just one of those things you feel. And, you know, I'm happy for him, and I'm glad it came true for him.
I like that. I like that. You put that in the air, and you spoke it into existence. And speaking of which, people who are watching, if they heard you mic'd up, one of the things that's clear from hearing you on the mic, not only right here but during the game, is when you play, you're going to play with a lot of passion. We've also talked about how you're trying to get the right balance, right, between playing with that passion but not making mistakes. How do you find that balance?
Man, just preparation, in my opinion. I want to say it's a Ray Lewis quote, you know, the five P's, proper preparation prevents poor performance. You know, it's kind of a cliche kind of thing, but, you know, it's one of those things that holds true. And I feel like if you're properly prepared, it gives you the confidence to go out there and execute.
Rayshon Jenkins, my guest. You know, every time I have one of the guys from your secondary on the show, it's really clear the kind of chemistry that you guys have, especially among the Jack boys. How would you describe the relationship that you guys all have in that group and how tight you are?
Man, it's cool. It's fun. You know, it's energetic. You know, everybody's pulling for each other. You know, there's no jealousy within the group. Everyone's really genuinely wants to see each other win. Everyone wants to see each other, you know, ball out. And we try to just create energy that our team can just match. Because, you know, we got a saying amongst ourselves, you know, as we go, the team goes. So we just try to be that spark of energy out there that, you know, if our team does get down, they can kind of look to.
Rayshon Jenkins joining us. So you're picking guys up, not only each other, but the rest of the team, and then even people outside the locker room. As an example, you and other members of the secondary have done some videos called Dear Jack Boys, where fans send in videos and they ask for advice on all sorts of topics like fashion, fatherhood, and more. One of the viewers asked you for tips on how to dress. Your number one suggestion was make sure the shoes match the shirt, but Adrian Phillips thought that might be, quote, too matchy-matchy. Lay it out for me. Why is matching the shoes and the shirt so critical?
It's just kind of, you know, one of those day one things. It's not one of those things that's make or break, but it's just, you know, if you don't know what to do, you know, it's just something that won't go wrong, I guess. You know, just always make sure the shoes match the shirt, and you'll never go wrong.
Dude, you know, it seems like, it's like you said at the top of the interview, man, back to fundamentals, right? You got to start somewhere.
Exactly.
Back to fundamentals. Now, if we're talking about topics that kind of get you and Phillips going, the topic came up about who is the real DBU? You're from the U. Phillips went to Texas. Yeah. All right, break it down. Which is the real DBU?
The real DBU is Miami University. That's the real DBU. If, you know, if you don't know the history of it, go look it up. We got the Ed Reeds, the Sean Taylors, just a few names. So, I mean, we can put our list against anybody's and it'll match up, you know, better, in my opinion.
Rayshon, you mentioned Sean Taylor. You know, because he passed at such an early age, there's just this amazing fascination and obsession, even among NFLers, about him. What did he mean to you personally? And when you watched him play on video, what did you think?
Man, I loved everything about his game. He was the reason I wore number 26 at Miami. In my opinion, it should have been retired. But, you know, I was able to have the opportunity to wear number 26. And just everything he did, you know, on the field, you know, his swagger, everything, you know, his presence on the field was just felt every time he stepped out there. And that's what, you know, I personally admired about his game.
Rayshon Jenkins joining us. He had unbelievable presence and swagger. And one more thing about DBU, like LSU, Florida, mm-hmm. Ohio State, do they have any claim in there for DBU?
Most definitely. Florida, LSU, Texas are all great DB factories, in my opinion. Ohio State. So, I mean, those guys are definitely in the conversation.
All right, so respect there. Now, as a unit, you lost Derwin James before the season, and then Adrian Phillips in week two. Losing that much talent would crush most teams, but you guys keep stepping up and you keep rolling. How do you explain that?
Man, we just have a next man up mentality. Just like I said before, the Jack boys, we kind of just stick together. We know that, you know, we're going to be called upon to play in a position, you know, that we may not are used to playing in. But we know we're going to have to step up and play just as good as the guy who original spot it was. So that's just our mentality, next man up mentality. And You know, we just try not to make, we'll try not to lose or waste opportunities.
Charger safety, Rayshon Jenkins joining me for a few more moments. You know, I could talk to you about the Jack boys. I could talk to you about the U, but to me, this is fascinating. You're used to playing with teams that have a lot of talent going all the way back to your days with the Silver Raiders. Dude.
Oh, yeah.
A youth team that had guys like Shaquem and Shaquille Griffin, Isaiah Wynn, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and more. What was it like to ball out on a youth team that had that kind of talent?
Man, that's what a lot of people don't understand. We're overlooked, you know, in my opinion, Pinellas County as a whole. You know, just like you just said, the Shaquille, Shaquem, Valdes, Dante Fowler, we produce a lot of talent. And it was just always competitive, you know, growing up and just playing against those guys. It was all, you know, you're always going to come into a game and it's always going to be good work. And, you know, we kind of, you know, just helped each other's game growing up over the years and playing with each other. So it was a fun experience just to play in that Tampa Bay, Pinellas County area growing up.
Yeah, but you still make it sound like it's all kind of a normal thing. Like, I'm blown away. It's crazy to me that you were part of a youth football team that had so many future NFL players. Like, what's it like now when you look around the NFL and you see so many guys that you played youth football with? I mean, at that point, were you guys talking about the NFL and the life and the dream, or was that something you didn't even think about at that age?
Man, we weren't even thinking about it, to be honest. We were just living the dream, just, man, just no worries, just having fun. Just, you know, everything we're doing today is just, we're still doing it now. You know, we've done this since we were 8 years old. You know, like you said, it is crazy to think about. Coach Gary Rowland, you know, I give hats off to him. He did a good job of producing most of the talent that came out of that area. You know, there's more coaches, but, you know, he played a very important role, in my opinion. But, yeah, man, it's just crazy to think about. And, you know, I'm still trying to swap jerseys with everybody. I got a few players, but I'm still trying to swap with some more. I play Valdes this year, so I'm going to try to get his.
Are dudes cool about that generally? I mean, I got to think that you want to hook each other up and there's a fundamental respect. Are there guys who don't want to swap? You ever have a bad experience trying to swap with somebody?
No, not yet. I'm kind of just the guy. I don't really ask for it. Jersey, man. I just kind of go up to my former teammates or, you know, someone that I probably know. You know, I don't really, so I kind of try to stay out of that. But I mean, I'm pretty sure there's guys who get that sometimes.
Nah, some guys are like that, but you're putting off a positive vibe. Like, you're about taking care of your business, but you're also about putting out a good positive thing. Gary Rowland, before you go, Rayshon, you mentioned him. He coached the Silver Raiders. He told Jeff Perlman this great story that one day he asked everybody to bear crawl to the fence, and he was stunned at how fast you went. He said, quote, "Rayshon bear crawled faster than people run. I was shocked. I'd never seen anything like it," end quote. Dude, what is that all about? Why were you so good at bear crawling? Was that something you practiced, or were you not allowed to run in the house?
Nah, that was, I mean, it was just something, I guess. I don't know. I was just naturally good at it. That used to be a thing. We used to just line up. Everybody will go probably like 30 yards, and, you know, I'll be the only one crawling, and everyone else will be just running, and I'll just beat everyone. So, I mean, it was just one of those things that I was just like a, I guess, natural freak at, I guess. But, I mean, it slowed down over the years. I guess guys got too fast.
11 tackles, a pass defensed, an INT on the year. He had 6 tackles in the win over Miami. LA is at home against Denver on Sunday. Rayshon Jenkins with a jungle debut. My man, you just crushed that. It's great to have you on the show. Rayshon, thanks so much. Good luck this weekend.
Man, appreciate it, Jim.
Clones, what do you want when you're craving protein and you need more energy? I'll tell you what you don't want. You don't want bars. You don't want a sugary snack, and you really don't want an energy drink. No, what you want is beef. Pure and simple. So where is the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky. In other words, it's not shriveled. It's not dry. It's not tasteless. It doesn't taste like an old shoe. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and it's tasty. So why is it so good? Because of the company, Old Trapper. It's a 50-year-old family business known for its relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef extremely seriously. You can taste it in every single bite. Trust me, Old Trapper is packed with protein, and it comes in 4 great flavors to satisfy all your cravings. It's quality smoked meat, at its finest, and it goes wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach, wherever. And it's in a clear view bag, so you can see the quality that you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? All right, so Sam Darnold going down with mono is one of the more bizarre things ever. I mean, seriously, it's already gifted us with one of the greatest television graphics ever. That iconic stare down of Darnold into the camera, nodding slowly, then aggressively pointing to the view with the words, out indefinitely, mononucleosis. An actual TV graphic. And if that's all that illness had given us, that would have been more than enough. I would say we don't deserve any more, but we got more. Because yesterday, Sam Darnold dropped one of the best quotes in recent memory. He's working his way back to health. He's been cleared for non-contact activities. And of course, the big question is, how is his spleen? It's actually a pretty tricky question. Because to my knowledge, the spleen is not something that you can stretch out or loosen up or strengthen. You need the doctors to tell you when the spleen is no longer enlarged and no longer at risk of rupturing. In other words, as Darnold said on a call yesterday that was recorded by SNY.
You know, I've been doing everything I can. You know, I've just I've been exercising as much as I can so far. And that's really it. And then to answer your second question, you know, I'll let kind of the specifics come out when they do. And when Coach Gase wants to be able to disclose that information. But, you know, for me, it's just about doing what the doctors say. Like I said, it's out of my control. My spleen at this point is going to do what it's going to do.
Let me repeat that last part because he delivered it kind of straight, but that's pretty outstanding. Quote, for me, it's just about doing what the doctors say. Like I said, it's out of my control. My spleen at this point is going to do what it's going to do.
My spleen at this point is going to do what it's going to do.
My spleen is going to do what it's going to do. Right, I'll be real. I have no idea what a spleen does. But I do trust that it's going to do what it's going to do. You know, like I always say, spleen gonna spleen. You cannot stop the spleen from doing spleen things. That's just the spleen being the spleen. My appendix is going to do its own thing. Hey man, don't get me started on my pancreas. I never know what the hell that's gonna do. Spleen gonna spleen, kidney's gonna kidney, lung's gonna lung, lymph nodes gonna lymph node. And I'm not even gonna get started on my tonsils. Weasels, man, they're always up to something. My spleen is just going to do what my spleen's going to do.
My spleen at this point is going to do what it's going to do.
I guess you can't control the uncontrollable, eh, Sam? Hey, let me ask you this. If your spleen is going to do what your spleen is going to do, what if your spleen explodes? What if your spleen gonna spleen means that spleen gonna splode? Because it might. And for what? It's not like you're rushing back to a Super Bowl team or a team that's competitive or a team that even matters. Maybe you give that thing another day or two or a week or two or a month or two. Make sure you're 100%, no, 1,000% that your spleen is not going to rupture or do whatever happens when a spleen ruptures. Because it's not like taking the spike is going to work on an internal organ, right? Can you hit the spleen with Toradol? Can you just ram that needle up in there, wherever the spleen is? Or do you hit it topically? Do you hit it with some ointments? Do you rub in some ointments on your spleen so it does not explode? Look, I love Sam Darnold. I love that he wants to be a leader. I love that he wants to be the face of the franchise. I love that he's taking that role really seriously. But it sounds like everybody's being pretty cavalier when it comes to an organ. Now, I know technically it's not a vital organ, but it's an organ. I like all my organs. I'm going to say they're all vital. How about this? Have you ever seen a photo of a ruptured spleen? I did a Google image search. I wish I had not. I mean, damn. 0 stars out of 5. Would not recommend. Would not recommend. Would not recommend rupturing your spleen or even doing a Google image search of a ruptured spleen. It does not look like a party. What I'm saying is Sam Darnold should take his time. There is no rush. Like, I know guys like that are wired way differently than you and I. They view pain and sacrifice differently. They're wired differently. They're cut from a different cloth than you and I. But here's what else I know. That team is 0-3. And as much as he wants to change that, he'd be coming back to face the Eagles or the Cowboys, and both of those teams have really large dudes who will run at him, tackle him, knock him to the ground. And one of those tackles might be the tackle where his spleen is going to spleen. And then he won't have a spleen. And that would be bad, really bad. I've always said, I'm never going to tell anybody else what to do with their spleen. But if it were me, I'd be very careful when it comes to the spleen. I know the spleen is going to do what the spleen's going to do. I just want to make sure that I keep that spleen around so the spleen can do what the spleen is supposed to do, whatever the hell that is. I'm no doctor, but we wouldn't have spleens if we didn't need spleens. So take care of your freaking spleen. The spleen's gonna do what the spleen's gonna do. She rubbed a little dirt on that spleen. I wonder if you can cryotherapy spleens. I wonder if he does explode his spleen, will they zip him up in that blue tent to inspect what's left of that spleen?
My spleen at this point is gonna do what it's gonna do.
Hey, clones, have you ever experienced this? Have you ever been walking down the street minding your own business and seen a $100 bill right there? Probably not, but if you did, what would you do? You'd pick it up, right? Or would you keep walking? Of course not, you'd pick it up. But every time you pick winners and you don't bet, that's the equivalent of walking right over a $100 bill. You wouldn't do that. This is why you want to go to MyBookie, because it's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Remember, where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet football this season, bet with MyBookie. Did you know that you could bet on games after kickoff? I've done this. Like, if you make a bet and all of a sudden it's not going too well, you can switch over in the second half. Take the other side. I do that. Or if you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little bit but win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, then you multiply your winnings. It's a blast. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. So join right now. MyBookie will make it worth your time and your effort by doubling your first deposit. Use the promo code ROME. Activate that amazing offer. That's promo code ROME. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. I'm talking about Nate Burleson. Nate, my man, what's going on? How are you?
What's good, brother? How you doing?
Nate, I'm so good. How about you? How you feeling?
I'm good, man. Just relaxing out here in New York City at an early morning with Good Morning Football. But, you know, we keep the train moving. Right now I'm at Lifetime Fitness here in New York. Just got done doing a class. And, hey, Jim, I got to tell you, bro, I'm out of shape, man. And we see each other all the time in the dressing room. And you haven't told me yet, hey, Nate, you need to get your butt in the weight room, because I feel fatigued right now.
Nate, talk to me, man. Why would I say that to you? How could I ever pull that off, man? Not only have I not said that to you, Nate, I will never say that to you. That's never going to happen, Nate.
Well, let me say this to the listeners out there. Jim, I get to see you because we work together on CBS every Sunday. And one, you always know what you're talking about. You come with the heat. And let me just throw this out there. You are the freshest. Of the freshest. I be peeping your style. I peep the shoes, the tie, the suit. I love working with you, man. Listen, a lot of people can dress the game, but to be able to talk the game, I'm just glad that you're one of my brothers in the business.
Dude, my man, Nate, that might be the finest moment of my entire career. Nice to have you on the show. Nate, talk to you next week. Nate Burleson, just kidding. That dude, I appreciate that so much, man. That is so great, Nate. Much respect to you, and it's greatly reciprocated, and you got to earn that praise, and I really appreciate you saying so. That is great. All right, so, Nate, a few things, a few football things, and I do want to talk to you about CBDMD, but you let me into your house on Sunday. I appreciate that. I'll see you again this Sunday. In one of the segments, I tried to make the argument that I expected the Cowboys to beat the Saints in New Orleans. Before we talk about Dallas, Nate, how impressed were you with what the Saints did on Sunday night?
How about that, man? You know, last week I said on Good Morning Football, it's like the world-famous James Brown song, Big Payback. You know, I need to get revenge. Last year, the Saints were riding high, and the Cowboys came in. And, you know, I don't think anybody really in the country thought that the Cowboys could punch the Saints in the mouth. But what happened? They self-corrected. They end up making a run. And, of course, they get into the playoffs. I feel like it's needed. You know, what we don't understand in this business, and Jim, you know this, if I parallel it to society or even the corporate world and me personally, knowing what it's like to have to hit the reset button every now and then, sometimes you need to taste blood in your mouth before you can figure out who you are and where you want to go. Dallas Cowboys are riding high, right? Everybody's complimenting them. Oh, they're undefeated. Dak Prescott, he's playing for that 35, 36, even $40 million contract. This is the perfect scenario for everybody in Dallas, including Jerry Jones. But then they face a very motivated Saints team led by Teddy Bridgewater. Defense plays well. They punch Ezekiel Elliott in the mouth, and they really shut down everything we saw from the Dallas Cowboys. So I think that was the most impressive win of the weekend, just for the simple fact that when the historical leader of passing yards in the NFL goes down, which is Drew Brees, we all assume, all right, let's just chalk up the Saints. The Saints weren't thinking that. Sean Payton had his guys rally, and they're sitting there chanting, who that, while we were thinking, who's going to step up?
Nate Burleson is joining us and breaking it all down expertly. Now, Nate, as somebody who played for the Detroit Lions, let me jump to that quickly. What do you make of how your former team battled against KC despite being down a number of players due to injury?
You know, I love to you know, support my squad, but I have to speak transparently because that's what you want. You have people on your show, Jim. I got to keep it real. Deep down inside, I wanted to choose my Lions, right, because I'm a Detroit Lion. You know, you have that homer mentality. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking strategically when it comes to X's and O's, go with the Chiefs. And I went with the Chiefs. I'm not saying that to tell you pat me on the back because I picked the right team. Everybody pretty much picked the Chiefs. I'm telling you that because I didn't pick my Lions because the Chiefs are a prolific passing team. The Detroit Lions didn't have their number one shutdown corner in Darius Slay out there. Pat Mahomes didn't throw for a TD, yet and still they pull out a close dub. And I think that was the most impressive thing about it, the fact that Pat Mahomes didn't throw for a touchdown. But still, their running back stepped up and made plays. LeSean McCoy showed up big. Darrell Williams showed up big. And then on the flip side, to answer the question the very long-winded way, how about that resolve for the team that is hosting the Chiefs? The Detroit Lions step up, and Matt Stafford says, you know what? I got guys. I got playmakers. I got Marvin Jones. I got Kenny Galladay. I got Kerryon Johnson, even though he fumbled at the goal line and gave up that 100-yard return, scoop and score, which kind of changed the game. But still, though, the fact that they had that type of mentality, and let me just bring this completely full circle. When I signed there, they were 2 years removed from the 0-16 season. And the first day I signed there as a Detroit Lions player, there was a guy in the locker room who was playing for the squad. He came to me and he said, Nate, I thought it was a rumor. I didn't know you really signed here. I thought people were joking around. Like, well, why would you say that? I'm here. What's up, baby? He said, no, I'm just kind of caught off guard. But anyway, it's a trip. You sign here because this is the graveyard for guys' careers. This is where people come to bury the rest of their talent. And I'm thinking to myself, damn, this is the dude that's on this roster? And I remember that day specifically because I vowed to myself, I'm going to try to change the culture. I'm going to try to have these guys wake up every day and think to themselves, I got a chance. I got a chance to fight for the damn logo on my helmet, these damn colors on my back, my damn teammates, and this damn city. And I see that. I saw that in this weekend. the fact that it could have folded. If Detroit would have got blown out 45-14, I don't think anybody really would have batted an eye. They would have been like, oh, yeah, they're dealing with a lot. And they had a few players that were out. It's the Chiefs. But the fact that they gave the Chiefs their toughest game this season, that says a lot about a team that went into the game without a loss on the record.
Nate Burleson joining us. Nate, that is amazing insight to me, like what it's like inside the locker room. So let me ask you this. Coming off that, the Titans last week were 1-2. Delanie Walker said that back in the day, there would have been guys calling each other out, but that's not the way it works anymore, that some of the young guys don't like that. They don't want to hear that. What's your reaction when you hear that? And then does that not change the dynamic in the locker room? Does that not make it tougher to get over bad losses and bad stretches if you can't be real with your teammates?
It does take a toll on the locker room chemistry when a player, especially a guy that means that much to the locker room, steps up and says, this younger generation can't really take criticism. And here's the thing. As a guy removed from the game, I can be the old curmudgeon and say, well, Delanie's right. These young players really need to step up and they need to accept criticism. But I also understand what it's like to be a 21-year-old in the NFL, and I can't process, like, harsh criticism for guys you look at as big brothers. But what I do know is they responded. Like, who cares about what you think about it? Like, if you're on either side of the spectrum, you could be sitting on the side of the fence where you think to yourself, keep everything in-house. Delanie, I agree with you, but say that behind closed doors. If you're on the other side where you're like, you know, hey, my grandpappy said, if you got something to say, you say it to somebody's face. You know what the common ground is? People responding. And Mariota went out there, and he stepped up big time. Went out there. A.J. Brown had a couple of touchdowns. Corey Davis made some plays. The defense, they rallied. And that's what it's all about. And you know what's funny is I've always said that when players make statements, they're not talking to the media. They're not talking to the masses. They're talking to their team. When Aaron Rodgers says, relax. R-E-L-A-X, relax. He's talking to his teammates. When Aaron Rodgers says, oh, well, you know, I need my players to step up. He's talking to his wide receivers. Delanie says, you know, guys need to learn how to take criticism and deal with it. That's him speaking to his teammates indirectly. Because if you walk up to an individual in the locker room and he isn't used to being criticized, which I hate to say this phrase, millennials are a little bit different. And these new players that are drafted nowadays, they're not used to somebody snatching them by the collar, looking them in the eyes and saying, bro, you're out of pocket, out of line. I need you to fall in and do what you need to do. Then that's going to make most people uncomfortable. You know what's funny? And what I loved about it is not only was he talking to the Titans, it was a message that was sent to the league because Adam Thielen, he got in front of the camera. And what did he say about his offense? He said, hey, man, you know, we need to, you know, throw the ball. You know, we got to take shots downfield. I don't care how good our running back is. And that wasn't him talking to us as the media. Who do you think he was talking to? He's talking to his teammates, talking to his quarterback, Kirk Cousins, and talking to his offensive coordinator. So, like, I like the fact that when you really pull the layers back, like when players talk into the camera, for everybody listening right now, don't take it as base value. I need you to, like, really peel back the onion and see why an individual is saying something. And then, if you really want to play a game with yourself and make this life of football, the soap opera, as I call it, more entertaining, then see if his team responds to the words said to the camera. Because that right there shows you the weight of the words said by the man, and if that team is actually listening to what you just heard as a fan of the game.
Nate Burleson played 11 years in the NFL, and that's where that comes from. Nate, you're working with CBD MD. What exactly is that? Lay it out for me, and what do you like about that product?
Well, you know, I've been talking all day about this product, and, you know, like I said, I keep using the word transparency because I like to keep it real. As a player, I wasn't a big pot smoker, and I'm not saying that to push more negative connotation towards cannabis or weed. That just wasn't my thing. So I'm a good study for anybody that wanted to kind of stick their toe in the water in the CBD space. I've had plenty of surgeries. We're talking close to 10 surgeries and procedures. And we're not saying like, oh, drain the knee or a light knee scope. I'm talking about hardware in my body. I'm talking metal in my arm, metal in my knee. My body start aching when the rain comes down type of surgeries. And after I retired, I thought to myself, I have to stop taking these anti-inflammatories and these pain pills and these supplements that aren't good for my body. I can work my mind. I can benefit from trying to be the best man I could be from the outside. What am I doing from the inside out? Among other companies, CBDMD approached me, and I like the studies behind it. I like the science behind it, and I love the fact that they backed up everything that they were talking about with facts, and you leave it up to the individual to make his own assessment on how it feels. And once I started taking it, everything from the drops that you can ingest to the capsules, the gummies that I take every morning, even to the topicals that I place for recovery or post-recovery, I realized that my body, my mind, my spirit feels way better than it did when I would go to a pharmacy and pick up some pain pills. We all know the opioid epidemic in America is at an alarming rate. And I don't mean to get heavy on you, Jim, but let's just keep it real. And if you want to keep it all the way real, you know, I've been there. I've sat in my room with a knee brace on and fluid in my knee, wondering if I'm ever going to play again, trying to drown my pain, drown my emotions, and figuring out a way just to get through the day. I never wanted to be in that space again. So for me to choose a brand that literally gives me a peace of mind, that takes away the anxiety, that takes away the stress levels that I have, and on top of that, can help me from a physical standpoint, it's so beneficial. And Jim, I mean, I can talk all day here on your show, but you know, we've had conversations about just how hard it is when you really want to be one of the best in your space. And knowing you and you being one of the best in the business for so long, I'm tap dancing into like that realm of work. I literally have five jobs. You know, people say, oh, I got five jobs. No, like Jim, I literally got five jobs. And I wake up at 4 a.m. every day. I work 6 days a week during the season. And most of the time, the only space I have is when I'm sitting at the dinner table with my family. So if I don't have something that gives me a peace of mind outside of my family, outside of the true joys that life brings, then you can be caught trying to fill a void that will never be filled. And you know the disturbing stories of not just athletes, forget about that. Let's just parallel this to life. People searching for something. Once I locked in with CBDMD, I realized, like, all right, I'm good. Like, I don't have to go search for nothing. I don't have to go search for a high, which is a taboo word that's attached to THC or weed or cannabis. This isn't a high that I'm getting. There's a difference between getting high and having a peace of mind.
Nate Burleson. He is a studio analyst on the NFL Today. He is an NFL Network analyst. He is also now a correspondent for Extra, 11 years in the NFL, and appearing courtesy of CBDMD. Nate, you and I had amazing conversations when you played. You and I have had amazing conversations since you retired. You and I have had great conversations on the set, off the set. That's one of my favorite conversations we have ever had, my man. I appreciate you so much. Eager to get back and see you this Sunday. And thank you very much, Nate. Great, great job.
No doubt. You know how it is. The closer we get, the realer it gets.
Good night now!